This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey, everybody. Dre Redfern here.
And Alexis Neely.
And we are so glad to have you back with us in the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, where today we are going to take basically step two in our process of building a team. And in this particular episode, we're going to talk about how to train up your team to really turn them into the super team, the dream team that can really help you take your law practice to your dreams, your expectations, and really the path to help you get there.
Yeah. And as we dive into this, I just want to start with a bit of reality. And it's an unfortunate reality for most lawyers, which is that we don't know how to train people so that they want to work with us. And that's just the case for most lawyers. It's not like they teach us this in law school. They don't teach us anything about management or leadership. They teach us how to be super smart and how to be competitive, and a lot of us how to be intimidating. And those kinds of character traits can make it really difficult to train people to want to work with us for the long haul. And I can tell you that as you are growing your practice, the biggest cost you will have is hiring people who could be great and then not training them properly and losing them because you did not know how to train them properly, and they just get fed up and they leave. And it makes sense. You know, every single person wants to be successful.
They want to feel valued too, totally.
Oh yeah, they want to be valued. And you know, if you are constantly focusing on what they did wrong, on why they're not getting it, you're wishing that they could read your mind, you're not properly appreciating them, and all of that stemming from your failure to train them simply because you don't know how to train them, then you're not going to be able to keep your team members. So this is such an important piece of the puzzle. So long as you have hired good people, people who want to be successful, people who have the capacity to learn, then it's up to you to train them properly. And it took me, maybe a good 12 years to understand what that even means. The people that stayed with me for 15 years and are still with me to this day, it really wasn't because I trained them well. It was because they had an extraordinary amount of patience. And it really has taken me all these years to learn how to do it. And I want to give you a really quick shortcut here on training.
You know, I have one on motivation too. So we'll follow you off, Allie, then I'll follow it up.
Okay, great. So I used to think that training meant giving my team members a list of tasks and then making sure that they did it. Those tasks. So here's exactly what you need to do. You need to do these specific tasks, and then I'm going to try and track if you've done those specific tasks. And then that is called micromanaging.
Nobody likes that stuff.
Nobody likes that. And I know that that might be that you think that's what you're supposed to do. No. Instead, the best way to train people is to have absolute clarity on the outcomes that you desire, not the task level outcomes, but the big picture outcomes. So for example, a big picture outcome might be, I want to engage 10 new clients every single month for my estate planning services. That is a big picture outcome, 10 new clients every single month for my estate planning services. Then the person that you are training, you can fit their specific outcomes within that big picture goal. So if this is a client services director that I'm training, then the way that I'm going to train that person is, okay, and Susan is the was my original client services director. So I would say, Susan, so this firm, in order to for us to succeed as a firm, we need to engage 10 new clients each month. And the average fee needs to be $4,000. Now, I want you to first of all notice something that I said here. I said, we need to engage 10 new clients a month. I'm immediately right there making Susan my partner in that outcome. I'm making her my partner in that outcome. It's not I need to. It's not you need to. It's we need to. So we're doing this together. Now, Susan, your role in us being able to engage 10 new clients every month is that I need to know that when I engage a client, you're going to be able to do everything that is necessary to ensure that they get a raving fan service, including booking their next meeting, their signing meeting after the engagement, collecting the check, going over their engagement letter with them. If they don't have a check right then and they're tracking down their payment, making sure you get all the information that we need prior to the signing meeting, and really giving her these big picture outcomes that she's responsible for. Now, I'm not, if I'm training her properly, I'm not going to have to tell her how to hunt down their information, how to hunt down their check. Ideally, what I have done is I have put in place systems in my practice, ideally automated systems using technology to, you know, give her a reminder that when a new client engages, she needs to schedule their signing meeting for 4 weeks out, and that she needs to scan in their documents. And that she needs to, you know, send those documents out to get drafted and then send them to the client. Ideally, I have created systems like that that she can follow. If not, then I'm going to have to invite her to create those systems along with me and ways for her to be able to track her progress for each of the clients. But it's not up to me. Well, I should say, ideally, I'm hiring people that are able to follow the systems that I've created or help me to create those systems to get to the outcomes that we are getting to together.
I love that, especially when you do that together. If you don't have the processes already, you get buy-in, you get ownership from their side. So they take pride of ownership and like, I helped create the system. And so then they also help to maintain it, to keep it up, to keep it going and really just optimize it and throughout in order to make it better. Now, if you have those systems and the processes and you can really train up those individuals, you know the easiest way to find out and basically appreciate your team and find out what motivates them?
Oh, I'm excited to hear.
It's to ask them. Like, it's the most revolutionary concept of, you know, ask your team and like what they actually like, what motivates them. And most people think it's just more money. And for some, it is. But I think this stat is like less than 25% are solely motivated by money. So for some people, it's flexibility. Maybe it's working from home a day a week. For others, it's a job title. The amount of people who solely just like are motivated by a job title is unbelievable. For some, it's just having flexibility. Others, it could be, you know, working like, was it 9 days a week and doing 80 hours, like 980s, I guess they call them, so that every other Friday they get off. But they're still putting all of their hours in. So like find out what they're actually looking for. And then you can appreciate them and reward them by giving them what they want. Now, obviously you got to have systems and you can't be super lenient with everybody, especially as your team grows, you got to build in some of that sort of stuff. But as you're starting out, like it's really, really, really important to understand what they like and what they enjoy. So for us, it's, you know, usually like every other Friday, like having a lunch date, like away from the office, just to get away, to go enjoy like a good meal together, to break bread, to get out of the office and not talk shop and just go enjoy each other's company. And that builds rapport and like a reciprocity and really gets like that a feel good sense, you know, of going that you're all doing this together. Now, previously we talked about, you know, millennials to a certain degree, and one in the previous episode, we talked about how millennials only stay around for 2 or 3 years. And a lot of that is largely attributed to the fact that many millennials want to feel like they're a part of something. Whereas if they don't feel, they're going to go somewhere else. And so millennials, while compensation is important and you're going to have to hire these individuals as you go throughout your law practice over the next, the coming years, things like this are very simple things that you can do to implement into your practice today to find out what motivates them.
and how to appreciate them. And if you know those things, you can watch their output literally go up and up and up and up, because you're giving them exactly what they need to feel like they're succeeding. And then that's the second part of this, is make it really easy for them to know whether they're achieving success or not. So you can call them a KPI, which stands for a key performance indicator. You can make it so that, if they're selling on the phone for you, or like if they're closing accounts, what their close ratio is, or how long it takes them to collect money. There's metrics for every individual. Mm-hmm. And make it really easy for them to know whether they're succeeding or failing. And there's good months and bad months, and it's your job to coach them and help them along this process. But it really helps them a ton if they always know where they stand.
Yeah. Yeah. If they, again, really know what success looks like for them. So I want to give you just a couple more examples here of what that might look like. So for example, if you have an outreach coordinator, success might look like a certain number of speaking engagements booked each month, or it might look like a certain number of networking events that you are attending and that they are then following up on the contacts that you meet. If it's a intake coordinator, then the success metric might be a certain number of phone calls that are made each month. And so just having these success metrics really clear is super important. And you can create those together, or you can create them on your own. And then when you hire the person on your team, you're going to share those so that they really know what that success means. Now, that does require for you to know what success looks like for your own practice. And this is, Dre, one of the places that I see a lot of attorneys are really unclear and what makes it very hard for them to train people. Many attorneys don't know what success looks like in their own practice. They think, oh, I want to have $1 million practice, or, I want to have a part-time practice, but they haven't really broken that down into the specifics of what that means. And I get it. I remember in the early years of my own practice, I had no idea what it meant. And I remember spending hours upon hours with spreadsheets trying to figure it out. I really couldn't. My mind just didn't think that way at the time. Ultimately, I had to train myself so that my mind would think that way. And I narrowed it down to really some key metrics for every business owner, but especially for lawyers. And it starts with you knowing really clearly, how much do you need to make each month? How much do you need to take home each month personally to be totally happy? And how many hours do you want to be putting into your practice? Now, one thing that I want you to note here is when you're talking about how many hours you want to be putting into your practice, there's five different areas that you are putting time into your practice. Five different areas. So write these down. One is learning. Right now, you're doing that. You are putting time into learning. So, time that you're listening to podcasts, time that you are getting CLE training, time that you are learning how to build your practice, that's all learning. Then there's time that you put into admin, the administration of your practice. And that's the kind of thing that you want to be able to be hiring out as soon as possible. But even after you've hired it out, even after you've got a team member, you still need to be doing admin at least, I think, one day a week. In the way that we teach systems, we teach Mondays are for working on your business. And on those days, if you have a team, you're going to be having an all-team meeting. You're going to be having your individual team meetings with your individual team members. You're going to be looking at your financials. You're going to be looking at your marketing for the coming month or the next month, if depends how far out you're working. That's like work on your business day. So that's, time that you're putting into admin. You're going to be really working on the business. Then there's the time that you are putting into educating your community. No matter what practice area you are in, as long as you don't have a steady stream of referrals coming in yet, which you might if you've been in practice 20 to 30 years, but if you don't have that yet, then you've got to spend time educating your community, whether it's through networking or giving presentations or doing expos, or you've got direct mail or radio, TV, whatever it is, whatever way, there's going to be some amount of time you've got to put into educating your community. And some of that time is really high leverage. Like if you've got radio and direct mail going, that's super high leverage. Doesn't take a lot of your time. Takes money, not a lot of your time. or really low leverage. Networking takes a lot of time, doesn't cost you very much though financially. And then there's going to be time that you put into engaging clients. And that is time that sometimes you get paid for and sometimes you don't. Depends how high your engagement rate is. And then what is the last one? Serving your clients. You could see that at the end of the day, when you've got a practice, there's just this very small amount of time that's actually left over for you to be serving your clients. And so when you know how you want, how much time you have to put into your practice, and you know how that time breaks down in those five different areas, then you can start to see exact, and then you look at, okay, how much money do I want to be taking out of this practice with that limited amount of time that I have to serve? What you could do is you could do this calculation, and our cash flow planning tool helps you to do this. You could do this calculation that allows you to know exactly how many clients you need to be getting hired by each month and at what average fee to be able to take home what you want to be taking home and, by the way, pay all the other expenses of your practice. And when you know that, and then you can start to tell your team about that, and you could start to let them know what is necessary to hit those goals. Together, you can create systems to get more and more and more efficient towards hitting those goals. And if you're working with your team in partnership to hit those goals, then those people are going to want to stay with you forever. Working with you will be a dream come true job for them because you have worked them into the goals. It's not just about you giving them a job and saying, okay, you do this job, and in exchange, you're going to get a paycheck. Now, instead, what you get to say is, look, this is something that we're creating together. And you could start to take into account, like Dre said, their time, their motivations that are particular to them. Maybe they want to, you know, have some flexibility. They want to be able to be taking vacations. They want to be able to be taking Friday afternoons off. Great. Now you can start to create that together. And that becomes part of the training and the systems creation. And it does require you to be in connection with your team members, like to actually be willing to get to know them.
And that's scary for some people.
Oh, it's really scary. Yeah. It's, well, especially if we don't know how to do it, or if we think that we shouldn't have to do it.
You know, I think that in itself could be a whole topic. You know, it's just not thinking that we have to do these things. That, you know, yeah. So many individuals and attorneys are just, you know, part of every other business sector that I'm putting the right butt in the right seat to go take care of this job. They just need to just shut up and go do it. Mm-hmm. And that is all too often the mentality that so many businesses have. And, you know, you could pay someone really well. You could pay them $100,000 or $200,000 or golly, $500,000 a year, depending on the job.
Yeah.
And that just because they're, you know, you're paying them well doesn't mean that they don't need that help. They need to follow those systems. You need to understand how to appreciate them, how to get them motivated. And that is just part of building a team. And I think that this topic is so, so important, really to those solo practitioners out there, or maybe those 1 to 3 attorney law firms who are really trying to figure out how do we take, you know, from where we are now to the next level. Well, we talked about it in the last episode. The only real way to get there is to get a team. And once you have a team, bringing them up and training them up in the right way with the right systems and the right processes to make your life easier, because ultimately that's the end goal, to make your life easier and to optimize and make more money in your business.
Yeah. And one of the ways that I know that the lawyers, you know, in our programs are going to be super successful is if they do have a team, it's when I see them involving their team right from the beginning, right? So let's imagine that you're putting in place a new system for engaging clients. And that system begins from the very moment that somebody emails your office or the moment that they call your office. And many lawyers will go into this thinking that this is something that they have to do, that they have to learn, and then teach to their team members. And what I really like to see is when the lawyer and the team member are doing it together, side by side, or sometimes, I mean, this is really even the best, although this does require a lot of letting go, but it's the most rapid growth, is when you just give it over to your team member. when you've got somebody that you believe in on your team so much that you say, okay, look, here's this program I invest in. There's this client engagement system, and we're going to learn exactly how to intake emails and phone calls in a new way. We're going to learn how to prepare people for the initial meeting in a new way. We're going to learn how to do the initial meeting in the new way. And really, all the lawyer has to do is learn how to do the initial meeting. It's the team that needs to know. It's the team member that needs to know how to respond to the email. It's the team member that needs to know how to handle the phone call, right? It's the team member that needs to know how to fill out the intake form and what to send out prior to the initial meeting. And so if you can be hiring people that you trust enough to hand off even learning and creating and documenting the systems, now you're in a really great position. And listen, it does require a huge amount of letting go. And I want to share a concept that really helped me to make a shift, in that there is a difference between abdicating leadership and responsible leadership. So abdicating leadership would mean that you are going to hire somebody and say, hey, put in place this client engagement system, and then never communicate with them again about it until you see that your engagements are down. And then you're like, what's going on with our engagements? And, you know, the whole thing is completely messed up, and, you know, they haven't been doing it in the right way. They, you know, probably haven't taken any action in that case, right? So that's abdicating leadership. The other alternative, though, responsible leadership, would be where you say, okay, we want to, you know, put in place this new system. I want you to learn it and implement it. And then we're going to meet every week, pre-scheduled on the calendar, blocked in as if it was a client, that you're going to sit down for an hour or even 30 minutes every week and go over, okay, great. What did you work on last week with respect to putting in place this system? How did it go? What's working? What's not working? What needs to be better? And when you can put in place that kind of leadership, where you're giving the opportunity to your team member to have autonomy, to put in place a system, but then you're supporting them on a weekly basis with coaching and support, giving them the opportunity, by the way, to make mistakes and learn from those mistakes, now you're really cultivating a relationship with these team members in a way that's going to have them want to continue working with you on an ongoing basis and free up your time while the systems are being put in place.
So, Allie, I mean, that's an amazing process. And I think that's laid out so clearly and so precisely that that's going to be really easy for a lot of our attorney listeners to just like hit the rewind button and go listen to that again, because I think it's so, so impactful. But we have these things in place. They've taken the time to create these systems, these manuals, the processes. What would be the best way, as we're building this team, to basically reinforce these things on a daily basis or a weekly basis or monthly basis? So Are you doing that when you're sitting them down in those scheduled meetings? Like, how are you constantly improving this thing as you go?
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to really tracking your metrics and then being able to sit down with your team members again on either absolutely on a weekly basis, on an all team meeting, and then on individual one-to-one meetings with each of your key team members, and reviewing your metrics. And I'm not sure if we've done a full episode yet on metrics. Maybe we'll have one of those coming up. But metrics is such an important piece of the training and refining puzzle. When I can sit down with my team members and look at the key metrics of the firm, now we have something to talk about that is actually going to allow us all to up-level. How is what we have done in the last week in service to reaching our metrics? And I remember, you know, back in the day, in the early days of my practice, well, even maybe for my whole practice, so many of our team meetings were spent arguing. It felt like that. It felt like we were just kind of arguing about things, or who was doing what and whether they were doing it good enough, and did that person get that thing done? And it just felt like there was like a lot of conflict. And as soon as I figured out how to run my business by the numbers, all of that seemed to really melt away. Now our team meetings are really invested in, okay, you know, how are we doing in terms of how many inquiries did we get last month? And by the way, I'll just go ahead and give you these key metrics that I'm always looking at in any business that I'm working with. How many inquiries did you get last month? How many of those inquiries turned into booked appointments? How many people kept their appointments? How many of those engaged our services, and at what average fee? Now, within each of those, I could dive into more specificity, but those are like the four or five, I say four because the how many booked appointments and kept appointments could really be one metric. Those are the key metrics that every single lawyer, every single law firm wants to be looking at bare minimum on a weekly basis. And certainly, if not on a weekly basis, at least on a monthly basis. That's going to allow you to hone in on exactly what's working in the practice, what's not working in the practice, and for what is working in the practice, what could even be improved. So many times the people in the practice are just not focusing in the right area because you're not measuring and talking about these metrics specifically.
All right, Allie. So we've covered so much about building a team in the previous episode and really how to train them up and creating some of the processes and some of the metrics. And, you know, I think that we'll end up doing probably a full episode on metrics in and of itself. Just I think there's so much value in it. But Do you think that there's any good final thoughts or closing ideas that you want to leave our listeners with today so that we can really send them on their way knowing they can build a really solid and quality team?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say that it is critically important for you to see the growth trajectory of your firm and what it's going to take for you to get there. If you are a part-timer, maybe you need one full-time person supporting you to be able to work the hours that you want and make the money that you need, and you are supporting them back to work the hours that they want and to make the money that they need, and you guys need to be in conversation about that. If you're full-time and you're building a high six or seven-figure practice, you're probably going to need a minimum of three people in your office, and then that could go all the way up to, you know, 7 to 10 team members, depending on if you've got of counsel attorneys and what your practice area is. But in any case, you're always going to have or want to be working towards at least that one person and making sure that they are really trained to walk side by side with you in building this practice, not with you having power over them, not with you just telling them exactly what to do, but training them to be your partner, not in name because they can't own your firm, but in outcome, so that you each can create exactly what it is that you want to have a life and law practice that you love.
I absolutely love it. I think there's so much value in this episode. I think it may be beneficial for some people to go back and listen to this again. But in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us in this particular episode, and we look forward to seeing you shortly in the next episodes of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast.
Hey, Ultimate Attorney, our free gift to you today will show you the 6 critical law business systems that every law practice needs to have consistent, steady, predictable client and cash flow that you can count on so you can free up your time and energy as you become the Ultimate Attorney. I'm laying out all of my secrets to these 6 systems that allowed me to go from scratch to building a $1 million a year revenue generating law practice while being a single mom, by the way, and in my 4th year of practice, just having to go into my office 3 to 4 days a week. It's all in the Law Business Manifesto, and it's going to give you the entrepreneurial training that makes the difference between struggle and success in your law practice. Where do you get it? Simply go to theultimateattorneypodcast.com. That's ultimateattorneypodcast.com, and you'll be able to download it along with many other free resources that you're absolutely going to love. So head on over there and get the Law Business Manifesto, the 6 critical law business systems that your law practice needs so you can become the ultimate attorney.